2 years in the making. I think Glenn called me about 2 years ago in October and asked me to hold this meeting. And so, you know what it's like to wait for 2 years and have something on your mind? I tell you, I've been asked to do several weddings in my life, and I just have got to the point to say, look, if you want me to do your wedding, ask me the week before. That way I don't have to stress about it for 2 or 3 years. Regardless, it's so good to be here. It's so good that Glenn and Tommy and Jeff, the elders here, have invited me to come and speak with you this week, and I'm just so excited. My wife, Monica, and my daughters, Macy and Maslin, are with me today, and hopefully we'll be all week. We are expecting a child this month, so it could happen any day, any week. So, Lord willing, everything will go as planned, and we'll have a great, successful meeting. I want to wake everybody up. Alabama was off yesterday, so I don't have to worry about any of y'all. Auburn played, but it was an early game, so hopefully you're still awake. And hopefully we can get our mind on spiritual things and really get going. It's good to see Guy here. I know he's been down and out a little bit this last few weeks, but it's time for him to be able to enjoy today and to relax a little bit instead of being up here and hold this position. So thankful for Guy and the meeting he recently did at Piney Grove. Let's get into our Bible class. Now, I want to say this because I know I'm guilty of it, and I say it every time. I want to make this interactive during Bible class, Matt. So I want you to say a few things. Now, I know we've only got about 30 minutes, so we can only say so much. And I know that every time I say I want to make it interactive, I'll do 95% of the talking still. So either way, if you have anything you want to say, speak up and say it, and hopefully we'll have a great Bible class to get going this morning. Do you like game shows? My grandpa, Nelson Dalrymple, and my grandmother, Reba Dalrymple, are both passed away. Buried my grandpa just a little over a week ago. Very faithful Christian, very good man. There was never a time that I would go into their home where they were not either watching the Atlanta Braves, the local weather, or a game show. Most of the time, a game show. And I like game shows. Troy, you like game shows, right? The Price is Right. Well, maybe I'll do that when Tuesday night. Regardless, I wanted to take something that we could use to get our minds wrapped around it, to make some application this morning. And I like game shows. If you're from a different time period here, okay, I'm showing our age a little bit, you remember The Top, okay? Now, if you turn on your televisions during the day, you'll see this guy at the bottom hosting these shows. So, what I want to do is think about a few things. When these people come on this game show, if you're any bit familiar with Let's Make a Deal, what he'll do is he'll call a few people down from the audience. And he'll say, all right, I want you, come on down. And they'll be dressed as a costume, and that's how he'll pick them out, and that's how he'll refer to them. And he'll get them down there, and he might take out a $100 bill, and he'll hand them, and he'll say, do you want this $100 bill? Do you want to open up what's behind door number two? And they can choose. Do I want what's behind door number two, or do I want to keep my $100? And they may say, I want what's behind door number two. And then he might say, well, I'm going to give you $500. Buzz, I'm going to give you $500. Now do you want to keep your $500 or do you want what's behind door number two? So then the choice gets a little tougher. Well, really quick with me, think for just a minute as we get into this. In life, that's it. That's it. We are all humans on this earth that one day will die. Hebrews 9:27. For it is appointed a man once to die, but after this the judgment. After we die, we will be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For all men must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. Now here's the thing. We make deals and choices all the time, whether you realize it or know it or not. So we're sort of on a game show of life, if you will. You may live 100 years. You may live 102 years. You may live 33 years. That's how long Jesus lived, give or take. So on this earth, it's like a short game show. You know, you watch it in 30 minutes and it's over, and you say, wow, that was quick. That's life. James said in James 4:13, life's just a vapor that appears for a short time and then vanishes away. You ever made a drink in the morning on a teapot and you see that vapor that comes out, that steam? It's gone just like that. And so will our lives on this earth be. So we're on a game show. We're contestants. But what it is, and our theme will go through with our Sunday morning lesson today as well, we've got to realize that. And in the scheme of life, we've got to make choices. Choices that define who I am, who Troy is, who Shirley Smith is. We've got to make these choices. And what happens is we choose what we find to be most important. Either it's that $500 cash or that what's behind door number two. What I want you to think about this morning, I know it's just an October day of your life, but I hope you've come here with a mindset of an open heart. And I hope you'll really think about life is short. It's just a vapor. And we're going to leave this earth. And what kind of choices are you making? And what are they showing about who you are? I want to read from Matthew 4. Turn with me there. That's going to be the context of our Bible class. Jesus himself, in a way, was questioned to make a deal. Satan used Jesus, just like on this game show, in a weird kind of way, or way you can make this applicable. He brought Jesus up to this mountain, and he tries to get him to make a deal. That's exactly what he does. Turn to Matthew chapter 4, and we'll read it to make sure that you're familiar with the story. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Matthew chapter 4, and please follow along with me or really listen well here. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Just like on that game show, you're tempted. What decision are you going to make? And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, "If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone." But Jesus said again unto him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And again, now this is the third time he's tried to get him to make a deal. The devil took him into an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and he said unto him, "All these things will I give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto him, "Get you henceforth, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Here we see Jesus, the Christ, our Savior, being tempted. He's tempted to make a deal. Now, here's the beauty of me doing this meet this week. I know very few of you, very few of you. That's the beauty of this. You know, when Guy's here, he's got a little bit more of a background of all of you. The elders, they know you. And most of all, you know yourself. And on the day of judgment, that's it. The only person who's answering is you and you alone. Now, here's where you've got to be honest. When we're faced with the same decisions as Jesus was here. And we're going to talk about that in our Bible class and in our Sunday morning lesson. But we're making choices and decisions that define us and what's most important to us in our life. And they're not choices of this magnitude. They're choices that will define our eternity. Our eternity. We're eternal beings. When I looked at my grandpa's body after spending so much time with him and loving him and watching him teach my father and teach me and others and always been an example at the church where I worship at Piney Grove, it's hard to know that he's gone. And at the funeral, I saw pictures of him on a slideshow that I had never seen. We also had a great sister in Christ pass away just 3 weeks ago, Christine Hester, Guy's sister. I was at Guy's house Tuesday, or Wednesday, one of the two, this week, for about 3 hours. He pulls out a picture of Christine Hester, who I've been going to church with for 31 years. And she was 9 years old. Never seen that picture. Here she's nine. Here I'm looking at pictures of my grandpa when he's a child, and now they're gone. Life is short. We've got to be making choices and decisions that show us the deal we want is not, I want all the power and glory and praise and excitement and pleasure and entertainment on earth, but I want it in heaven. Helen Keller once said, "What a terrible thing it is to have sight but no vision." All of us in here have sight. But what a terrible thing it'll be is if we use it all on this earth and we have no vision of eternity. If we can't be like in 2 Corinthians 4 and see past the invisible, the things that are here that are temporal to the invisible things that are eternal. Satan does the same thing with us every day. He tries to get us to make a deal. He offers us so much on this earth. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. Matt Taylor, will you read that passage for me? I said I was going to make this a class. Matt, 1 John chapter 2, he's going to read verses 15 through 17, and I want you to really read these verses and think about this for just a minute. We're thinking about making a deal with Satan. As Jesus was up on this mountain, Satan tried to tempt him three times, and all three times he turned down the deal. Matt, you got that passage?
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Love not the world, nor the thing. Let me tell you something. At Piney Grove, we have two rows of pews, and there's about nine rows on each pew. We're a very small congregation. I have baptized over 10 people in the last 4 years that have come forward and sat on that front pew and said, I want to be baptized for remission of my sins. And they are no longer serving God faithfully. Just at that, and so I know at O'Neill, where there's 300 people or more, the numbers are going to beat that, unfortunately. So here's what happens. Someone hears the gospel like in Acts 2. Their heart's pricked, and they say, what do we need to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. So we do that. And then guess what? I see three young men right here. Y'all in middle school or high school? Middle school or high school at least, right? I see some young ladies back there. Jeff's got two sons in college. You've got a grandson at Alabama, right, Tommy? What happens is, let's start at that stage where most obey the gospel. Then we go off to college. Here's door number one. Now, I want you to really listen to this. You can go to any college you want on this earth and still be a Christian. But I want you to think about this for a minute. How many teenagers are spiritually mature enough to say, you know what, I want to make this decision based on my faith? Where can I go and still worship with Christians? Where can I go that I can still, and I'm not saying there's a place you can go or can't go, but how many times is that mindset? Satan's opening those doors. And what happens is when those doors get open, sometimes we lose track and start forgetting about God. It's about me. Well, I want to go to this college because this is so much fun and I want to be this. Why do you want to be this? Because I'll make a lot of money. Well, will you be happy? Can you still be a Christian? See, all those doors, do you want the $500? Like, and let's make a deal. They give them options. Do you want this $1,000? You want to see what's behind door number three? Do we want to take? All right, so we're at that teenage level. What happens then? When did you marry Shirley, Tommy?
56.
So how old were you?
18.
So that's pretty young for today's standard, ain't it? Now listen. How many 18-year-old boys and girls, young men and young women, have been baptized? 17, 16, 15. And they loved the Lord. But then Satan started, just like he did with Jesus on that mountain, Matthew 4. Satan said, look at this good-looking young woman right here. She's not a Christian. She's never going to be a Christian. And look, I know some of you weren't Christians when you met your spouse and they converted you. And thank goodness for that. Amen. But you need to know that they will convert before you make that biggest decision of your life, maybe second biggest decision you'll ever make after becoming a Christian. Because you may marry them, two of the ones I baptized at Piney Grove, or, well, I didn't baptize these two that are in my mind currently. They're about my age, a little younger. They both married husbands that, they're not going to come to church, but I'm still coming. They hadn't been in 5 years now. Hadn't been. They slowly came every once in a while. You know, just enough to say they were still coming. So that's one of the boxes they open is relationships, a spouse, somebody to date. What do I choose? Do I choose to take this risk and see what's behind door number two? See if they will become a Christian? See if I can hold out while they're unfaithful? See if I can raise my children to be Christians while they're not? That's the choices we're making. And we might say, oh, it's not a big deal. I can still, your soul's on the line. That's a pretty big deal. Life's just a vapor. Remember what we've already said. This isn't $500 we're playing with. This is your soul. And as Matt read, love not the world nor the things in it. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And 1 Corinthians 15:33. All right, what's it say, Troy? You're good. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good morals. So here's the thing. What's your first name?
Braden.
I was hoping it was. Braden. He may be a good guy right now, but you put him on a Friday night with a bunch of high school teenagers at a party, who is he then? Is he still the Braden that he is today? Tommy may be all right. I keep using Tommy because he's sitting here, and I know his name. He may be all right today, but you put him at work for 30 years down at the local factory, who is he at work? Who are we at home? Who are we when nobody's looking? Evil companionships corrupt good morals. I've seen way more that will try to give me the sob story of, oh, I know I shouldn't be here. then cut them off. Samson had a girl that he liked named Delilah. We could turn to Judges and read about it, but I'll paraphrase. She kept trying to trick him into basically giving his life to the Philistines. But he was so taken by her that he couldn't cut her off that it eventually cost him. David, a man after God's own heart, sees Bathsheba, a married woman, but he couldn't. We've got to cut it off. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Be careful who you're spending your time with. Be careful how you're choosing your husbands, your wives, your girlfriends, your boyfriends. Be careful what your children think's okay and what's not okay. Because Satan blinds us. You know what the beauty of Let's Make a Deal is? You don't know what's behind the door. That makes it exciting. We like to be excited and thrilled. You don't know what's back there. I want to live a little. So let's open that door up. And he blinds us from seeing the real choice that we want. Will somebody read for us Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24? Who would like to take that? Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. Guy, you got it?
Yeah. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Where your treasure is, there will your
heart be also. Think about that. Where your treasure is. Where's your passion in life? You can take somebody who as a kid, you watch them, the things they enjoy. And if they can do that for a living, they'll do a good job at it because they already love it. It's the same with worshiping God. We've got to love the sacrifice that God has done for us. We've got to understand from studying His Word how great of an opportunity we have. You take the rich young ruler. He said, I've done all these things for my youth. What do I lack? Go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And he couldn't do it. What about us today? I wish I could go to every person in this room, but you've got to start making some self-assessment with me this morning. I've got to make self-assessment. Am I being blinded? I'm telling you, you can talk to a teenager right now, Braden, who's a... I don't know anything here. Maybe a single young man or not, that don't matter. But you can talk, oh, I would never forsake the Lord for some young lady that does. As soon as that one comes around, I'm still going to come to church. You can talk to somebody and say, is this the career you really think is going to be the best for your faith? Oh, I can do this and still be Christian. 5 years later, it's like they just couldn't see it. They just couldn't see what it was doing to them. That may be you today. It may be that you've just been blind to the fact that your treasures are here, not in eternity. We've got to make a different choice. We've got to open up a different door. Here's our choice this morning. Heaven or hell? Heaven or hell? How many of you have seen Let's Make a Deal? I just need to get a pretty good idea. About everybody in here know what I'm talking about with this game show. Let's Make a Deal! Satan takes Jesus in Matthew 4 that we just read, the first 11 verses, up to the mountain. He tries to make three deals. Jesus says, I'll take God, I'll take God, I'll take God. I'll take my Father. The Word of God says. In Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If I can take this job and still put God first, I'm taking it. If I can marry this person and they're going to be the best person to get me there to be a Christian, to get my children there, to help me, then I'm doing it. But that's not how we make those choices. Well, she's the most beautiful girl out there. That's who I want. That job pays the most. That's what I want. And we become blind, as we just read about. We become blind to the truth, and we don't even see that we're in sin. It's like, I don't realize it. So many times we think we're going to get something so great. Open up what's behind door number two. I'll take that. And you know, in the game, when you get something that's not a prize, what's it called? A zonk. You get a zonk. It's useless. It's nothing. It's usually some goofy prize. What about us today? Which one are we choosing? If Satan is trying to make deals with us today about our soul, What are we choosing? Because I know a lot of good people that were Christians one time, but they chose to go a different route. They've decided, I want it now. I want my prize on this earth. I've given in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life that Matt Taylor read about 4 years ago. I'm choosing it now and in eternity. Just as I mentioned my grandpa's funeral earlier. As I sat there, I feel like he was definitely in a safe condition. And if anything could be done to get to heaven, he's ready. But I've also done funerals where I've had people where I had no clue. And that's a scary feeling, but it's a much scarier feeling if it's me, if it's you, when it's us. Because Hebrews 9:27, for it is appointed man once to die, but after this the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every day we're making choices and decisions. Let me give you a note. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, it talks about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. At Piney Grove, on a normal day, if everybody's there, we're in the mid-50s. If everybody was there, we'd be in the low 60s sometimes. So that'd be a perfect day. Most days, mid-50s. What it was when you was there, wouldn't it? Got lowest number we had all week, Sunday morning, 56. I bet at O'Neill on Sunday morning, there's 267 people. Here's what it says. Sunday evening, 184, Wednesday, 170. Now, you may have been sick. You may have been out of town. Whatever the case is. How come everywhere I go to worship, that's the same case? Because I go to church with people that when their job starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, they are never late. They are there for 8 hours to 10 to 12 hours a day. They do their job, otherwise they would be fired. They participate. I go to church, which is much, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. This is the most important thing in my life if I become a Christian. I made that confession when I was baptized. I'm going to put God first and I'm going to put off the old man and put on the new man. But I can't even make it 4 hours a week, every week to worship my Creator, much less more than that He deserves. I can't even go four. We've got churches today, it's popular to just meet 2 hours. Let's just cancel Sunday night services, and even Wednesday, that'll be the next step. Let's just do away with it. Why? Well, it's the best thing for the church. No, it's the best thing so I can stay home and watch Sunday night football. I can go to bed early and get up for work Monday because I had a long weekend watching college football. Let's just be honest. Not blind, not making excuses. Let's be honest. Now, I know somewhere out there somebody's got a reason to say it would be better if we met for 3 hours Sunday morning. And sure, that's probably true. But generally speaking, I know these same people that are never late for work, that work 40 to 80 hours a week, and they don't want to give 4 hours a week to God. They don't want to do it. Let me tell you another one. You got children and grandchildren here. They may not go to church here. They may go somewhere else, so they may not go anywhere. I go to church with a couple that's a faithful set of Christians that are growing right now. I'm so excited about them because they're young, they're growing, they just had a third child, and they want to put the God first. Well, they just recently moved because they wanted to get their daughter in a better school system than where they lived. So the goal was, we're going to take our daughter, we're going to move schools so that she can go to this high school rather than this because it's just a much better school. And I think most of the communities around would agree with their decision. Whether or not you like it or not, they think it's the best decision for their daughter. What if people thought like that spiritually? There was a boy that played quarterback for Athens just a couple years. He's at Muscle Shoals now. I taught his brother at Moulton for that. He moved. Why? For football purposes, for athletic purposes, generally speaking. That's happening all around the world in college athletics. People move. It's a selfish move, generally. What if people did that with church? Now, I'm not saying move churches. That's not, what I'm saying is what if I thought so much about my children? Matt Taylor's got three, right? You're going to have a fourth man? He says no. All right, here's the thing. What if I said, I'm not sending my kids to this school. Why? Because I want my kids to have the best education. So what if I said, there's a gospel meeting at Market Street this week. Isn't that a church right at Market Street? There's a meeting at Eastside next week. There's a meeting at Piney Grove. Well, Piney Grove's an hour and 15 minutes from here. I've drove a lot longer than that to football games and basketball games. Surely I can drive that far to a gospel meeting if I love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. I mean, I can do it every week. But you see, that's what it's all about. If I never take my kids to any gospel meetings now, why would I expect them to do it as adults? Why would I expect them to say, I want to go see Matt Taylor's kids that we met at the VBS 2 years ago. I want my kids to be in every Bible class they can be. Why? So they can have a great Bible education, so they can meet a lot of Christian friends, so that we can be there instead of other places, so that it can get ingrained in them. Remember Deuteronomy 6? You'll teach these things to your kids when they rise up, when they sit down, when you're walking, when you lay down to go to bed. He says all the time. And that's just a whole other point is, I may be coming to church all the time. I may think, but am I really putting God first? But going back to where I started, 267 on Sunday morning. Why do these numbers drop off? If God's first, because I don't skip work. I used to work with a guy, great people. Have a long day at work on Wednesday night. I'm tired. So he skips Bible study. Or misses, let me use that word. But he's back at work on Thursday morning. So who has to suffer there? The rest of the brethren. Because the job's more important than the church. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've had weeks like that. I go to church with a guy and I love what he says. He said, I was tired when I came to church tonight. I was give out from working all day yesterday. But when I got here and left, I felt better. Guy, you feeling any better right now? Would you have missed it for the world? No, you wouldn't. And my grandpa wouldn't either. He wouldn't have missed it for the world. Christine, your sister, could barely walk. If you hadn't seen Guy's sister, Guy, is it okay if I share this? She was bent over like this because her back had just grown at an angle. Am I right? 86 years old. She couldn't barely get in and out of her car. She didn't miss an assembly. She didn't miss until the day she died. We've got another lady at Piney Grove who's on a walker. She's had MS for 10 years and can barely move. And I'm telling you, if we meet every Sunday and Wednesday, she don't miss. She might miss one service a year and can barely move. And we got people that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s that work 60 hours a week, and they can't make it to worship services. It's a want-to thing. The guy was asked the question, do you think I'll go to hell if I don't go to church on Sunday nights or Wednesdays? And the answer is, I don't believe you'd go to hell for that. I believe that you'd go to hell for not wanting to be there. Because wanting to be there is wanting to be in heaven with God. That's that choice, that decision. I want to make this deal. And I'm not trying to be too rough right now. What I'm trying to say is this is real. This is eternity. I need to get focused and zoned in right now. In conclusion, we got about what, 5 minutes? Is that about right? What will your answer be on the day of judgment? I want you to think about that for a minute. If you got called up on the game show right now, Braden, I'm going to give you $1,000 or you can have behind what's door number 4. We don't have to guess what's behind the door. We can either be Christians and put God first and give it. That doesn't mean we won't sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that all sin falls short of the glory of God. But we can't sin willfully according to Hebrews. We can't do it. We've got to draw the line and say, I love the Lord. I've got a guy that lives at the end of the road where I have my farm, one of my farms. And he comes down the road and he's an older fella, but he's a season ticket holder to Alabama football. And we'll talk. Did you go to church? Well, I didn't. Maybe it wasn't feeling good. Did you go to the ball? Oh, yeah, I went to the ball game. Not even a question. I see these people with these Alabama tattoos. They're season ticket holders. Every clothes and shirt they got is Alabama or Auburn. I'm a Florida guy, in case you didn't remember that. I'm a Gator. And they love it. And that's fine. It's okay to have an entertainment. That's fine. But they're so passionate and in love with it. If people would get like that about the church, instead of seeing Bryant-Denny Stadium or Jordan Air Stadium or Ben Hill Griffin Stadium with 90 to 100,000 people, O'Neill would be full. Piney Grove would be full. My children and your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, they would see it in us and they would say, I want to make that decision because my soul, I don't want to burn in hell eternally. Remember our two options. When Satan took Jesus up in the mount, he said, choose. He chose the Lord. Who are you choosing today? Who are you choosing? Won't you make the simple, small, consistent, dedicated, tough, and uncomfortable, unpopular choices? All those words I hope that you'll take time, although we're about out of time, to think about. They're simple. Small, consistent, dedicated, tough, uncomfortable, unpopular. Make them if it means getting to heaven. And I hope that if you're in this audience and you're one of those people that's doing this, you are excited by this and zeal. Let's feel Jim say, that's what I want to do. And I hope that if you're not, like me at times, you'll say, I want to make sure that I'm not making the wrong choice. Have you ever watched Let's Make a Deal? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Have you ever watched the one with Howie Mandel where they open the cases? What's that one called? Deal or No Deal? That's what I was trying to say a while ago. I have seen people with $300,000 in their case and they leave with $50. Why? Why does that happen? They get greedy. They make bad decisions in the moment. What about you? Are you going to make good or bad decisions in the moment? Let's read two verses and finish out. Somebody turn to Revelation 3:20. Al, can you get that? Revelation 3:20. And then Genesis 3, verses 1 through 4. Can you get that for me? So literally, our example today is let's make a deal. In the game show, there's doors, and you get what's behind the door. And we just read a verse where Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. He's on the other side of the door telling you what you're going to get. What are we going to get if we choose that door? A home in heaven. For how long? What do we get if we choose the other door? What's the opposite door of heaven? Hell. How long does that last? Think about how terrible that is. Read the last passage for us, please. Genesis 3, verse 4 verses.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, as God said, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden you shall eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman,
Satan was so crafty that he even tricked Eve. God said, eat of any tree but this one. Satan got her. Don't let him get you this morning. Make the right choices. Make a deal with God, not Satan. Appreciate your participation in